Today on Real Life Radio.
It's divine favor. In all of its definition, my friend, grace means that it cannot be earned. It's this divine influence upon the human heart. It's unearnable, if you can say that. It is given by God. His favor is bestowed. He picks someone. He picks you. He longs to lavish you with grace.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you miss a few episodes in this series, you can always catch up at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Christian, Come Home, Part 4. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now we continue in these final verses of chapter 15, and we'll consider what makes God's grace so real. You see, the meaning of the word grace is a gift that's already been bought, so it can't be earned. It's God's riches at the expense of Christ. Why is grace necessary? Well, the book of Romans tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you know, where sin is great, grace is even greater. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that God's grace is needed whenever there is brokenness or wherever a soul is devastated by sin. Only by grace are we saved and not of ourselves. We can't make it to heaven without grace. Now, in his message called Christian Come Home, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says there were sinners, all kinds of sinners. There were your run-of-the-mill, arrogant, proud man to the prostitute. They were all there, and they were listening to Jesus gladly, and they were excited about that. But in the crowd, there were scribes and Pharisees. These guys could not see their own sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that God hates pride more than any sin of all, because it's pride that blinds us to the reality of who we really are. But the truth is this morning, as we looked at this message in this last culminating effort in the parable of the prodigal son, four-part series ends today, we see now that, listen, the older son who had remained at home versus the young son, remember, he took off and spent all that he had? That both their hearts were extremely far from God. It didn't matter if someone was sitting right in the house with that older son, his heart was far from God. And it didn't matter really how far away the younger boy was in the parable of the story, he was far from God. You could be sitting in this church right now and be a million miles from really knowing God. That's a very scary thing. We'll talk about more on that in a moment. But pick it up with me as we continue on in this. Luke chapter 15, follow along with me. Verse 25, down to the closing end of it, verse 32, scripture says this. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, the older son heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things and what do they mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him, that is the father has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with the older son. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you, I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you've never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and lost and is found. Christian, come home. This message maybe for you, you're sitting here, but you're far from God. Or maybe you're going to get this message, get the CD or the DVD, take it to your friend. Which one, who among us does not have a friend who is a Christian but is no longer fellowshipping with God or his people? Maybe they're upset. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they ran far away from God and they're saying, I don't want anything to do with God. Or maybe they do want to have something to do with God again, but condemnation has swallowed them up and they're thinking, I can't come back. Oh, you need to come back, my friend, because grace awaits you. God's grace is awesome. And the whole closing end of this parable is about the grace of God. Understand this. There are some things impossible for God to do. Did you know that? There are some things. In fact, mark it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we are faithless... Is that where you're at today, maybe? If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's an awesome verse that indicates, though you and I wobble back and forth regarding faith, God remains faithful to us. So what are those things that God cannot do? He cannot deny himself. The Bible says that he cannot sin. Isn't that awesome? God cannot sin. That's why Jesus had to come, by the way. He had to come from heaven to earth. God cannot sin. And the Bible says he cannot lie. I love that because when you read your Bible, God is saying exactly what he means exactly what he says. God cannot lie. I think that is a great, great thing. So follow with me as we look to point number one in this study, Christian, come home because grace awaits. Verses 25 to 27, it's found right here. What makes grace so real? Why is it? How is it that grace is so real for the believer? It's been a word that some have said, and it's a cute saying, it's accurate but not full, that grace stands for as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense, grace. And that's certainly the foundation of grace. But you say, well, Jack, what is grace? And I'm glad you asked. Grace is an amazing thing. The word charis in Greek means that gift bestowed by God. It's a meaning of benefit, gifting. It's divine favor. In all of its definition, my friend, grace means that it cannot be earned. It's this divine influence upon the human heart. It's unearnable, if you can say that. It is given by God. His favor is bestowed. He picks someone. He picks you. He longs to lavish you with grace. Imagine for a moment. I see some people in this congregation. I see Patty, for example. She's been here since this church has started. And you would think that if I have $1 million and I'm going to give it, I've got to give it away right now, that I would maybe... point out Dr. Paul or someone who's been with us from the beginning, and I would say, because of your faithfulness, because of your commitment, because of your devotion, I'm giving you this $1 million bill. That would not be grace. Did you know that? That would be cool for them, but it would not be grace. See, the person sitting behind Patty or behind Dr. Paul might be a person who's a Christian, but really flaky. You know, we've flaky Christian. They come to church sometimes. They know God loves them. They know that Jesus died on the cross, but their walk is struggling. They're really weak. They've never really had a witness. They're really miserable, quite frankly. Flaky Christians are kind of miserable Christians because they were saved for heaven to be used here in the meantime, but they're not being used, and so they're kind of out of joint, and then they're just kind of messed up. Now, if I took that $1 million bill and I went over Dr. Paul's head and I handed it to that person and said, you know, God bless you. You know, you would be justified emotionally to rise up and say, what are you giving it to that bonehead for? I mean, he doesn't deserve it. And I would have to say, based upon the biblical definition of the word grace, you're absolutely correct. That's what God does. It's not that God doesn't grace the obedient Christian. He does. But listen, God also graces those who don't deserve. That's the whole meaning of it. It means unearnable favor granted by God. And how does that come together? What makes grace so real? Well, what is it? Look at verse 25. Now his older son, this is awesome, was in the field. That's a good place to be. The boy's working. The boy's faithful. The boy's committed. He's the older son. He's working hard. But do you remember last week? He called together, the father called together to kill the calf to have a party. Where's the party going on? In the house. Who's in the house? All of the servants, the father, and the younger son. Where's the older son? Working in the fields. The boy comes home to hear the partying taking place. He's listening as he makes his way to the house. So check it out. As the older son was in the field, as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. What is this going on? What's happening? Well, a sinner has come home. And you might say, Jack, that's awesome. That's exciting. How beautiful is that? Not everybody thinks that way. Quote, older sons, close quote, don't think this way. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about in a spiritual sense, Jesus is speaking to that group. Remember Luke 15, the crowd, some sinners, some tax collectors, and some Pharisees and scribes. The parable is directed exactly to them. They are the older sons in the parable. They're self-righteous. They don't need Jesus. They've already announced, we don't need you. We obey the law. We're so good, we're impressed with ourselves. We're legends in our own mind. We are incredible. They didn't see the need for Jesus. But listen, we all need God's grace. The Bible tells us in John 1:14 that the Word of God, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth, the grace of God. My friend, listen. The grace of God is misunderstood by most Christians, and it is impossible to be understood by non-Christians. They will accuse us when we say we've been forgiven. You know that's theologically accurate, but they counter and come right back and they say things like this. Oh, so you're like little holy moly, huh? You're like a little Jesus freak? Your sins are forgiven you? I guess I am a Jesus freak, and yeah, my sins have been forgiven, but you misunderstand that I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. Now you might say, well, Pastor, if you say that too loud, isn't somebody gonna get the wrong idea and then and just say, I'll accept Jesus and then run out of the building sinning? No. Only a person who misses the gospel can go do something like that. Because a person who understands the gospel, receives the gospel, their life is changed. And when they go out of this place or out of the hearing of the gospel, they don't wanna sin anymore. Do you know who I'm talking about? I hope I'm talking about you. You and I don't want to sin anymore. Church, do we sin? Yes. All seven of us do sin still. Well, what happens when we sin? We have the grace of God. Well, then you can just go and live any life kind of you want, don't you? And just sin it up. No, we don't want to live like that anymore. Well, why? Because we've been changed. We have a brand new nature. The Holy Spirit resides within us, and now there's this passion, there's this desire to do the right thing for God's glory, to love people who knock on your door and want to fight, to love them to Christ, to invite them, never to judge them. You and I have not been granted the ministry of judging them. Pastor, I've been given the ministry of condemnation to all of those I meet. No, you haven't. That is the older son complex of self-righteousness. God's grace, the Bible tells us, is for the sinner. And the sooner you realize with me that we're sinners, the quicker the grace comes.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Bible says in John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:33 says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon the church. Don't you love that? You know what great grace means upon the church? They were so excited to have their sins forgiven, to have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they were going to heaven, that they actually forgave one another of the wrongs that were done against them. They couldn't wait to forgive one another. You know what? Have you ever seen the cartoons? You guys, I'm strong supporters of the theology of Warner Brothers, you know, with the two little chipmunks. Remember those guys, Chip and Dale? They don't even show those things anymore, I guess. Chippendale, those guys, after you. The one squirrel, chipmunk opens the door, after you. No, after you. And they serve one another. Here, you take the nut. It's fresher. This is a fresher nut. No, I'll take the rotten nut. You can have the good nut. They're so nice to each other. They're so gracious to each other. If chipmunks can be that nice to one another, the Christian who understands that they've been forgiven never goes around and says, you've got sin on your face. We're not sin sniffers and fault finders. We are people who say in love, listen, you're doing the wrong thing. The Bible says so. Can I help you? Can I pray for you? Can I do anything? That's not judgmental. We have no ministry of judging anybody. God will judge in the end. Our calling, as Scott was singing that song, we're to rescue people with the gospel. We're to use our mouths and our hands and our feet and our wallets by the grace of both action and love and movement and concert together. And then also this, what makes grace so real is this, asking this question, why is grace necessary? Verse 26 goes on, so he called, that is the older son called one of the servants and asked him, what do these things mean? What's going on? And you can almost hear the glee, the excitement in the servant's voice. It's sad that he misses it. And the servant said to him, your brother's come home. Translation, aren't you excited? When somebody comes back to Christ, we should rejoice. But watch, legalism goes like this. Unless you join our church, good chance you're not going to make it to heaven. That's insanity and legalism. That's a cult, by the way. I've come back. What makes you think God will have you anyway? Think about it. Well, unless you are taught by our pastors, baptized in our water, and sign our statement of faith, you're not going to go to heaven. That's insanity. Legalism does that. A man-made self-righteousness proclaims that. We are to stick to the Bible. We are to follow the Bible, obey the Bible, and only the Bible. When traditions come in, this man is a parabolic manifestation of the traditions of the scribes and Pharisees. They didn't point people to Christ. In action, they wound up pointing people away from Christ, having them follow the traditions of men rather than the gospel of God. Your brother's home. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24 says, being justified freely means you can't buy it. You can't earn it freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. This is a great verse. Doesn't Paul write like an attorney sometimes? That's kind of deep. Can I hear that again? For we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word is an Olympic term, by the way. We've all pulled back our arrow and shot at the target. And as we were hoping to hit bullseye, the arrow just went boop and fell right into the dirt. Never made it to the target. No matter how hard I try to be righteous, fall short of the target. Paul says, we've all done that. And then he goes on to say, but we've been justified freely by the grace that's through Christ, through the redemption that he provides. Romans 5:2 says, through Jesus Christ also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope. Christian, you and I will never make it to heaven's gates without the grace of God. Think of it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his great book, Buy It, The Cost of Discipleship, in the first chapter, speaks about the grace of God. And Bonhoeffer, by the way, who was killed by Hitler's SS officers, stripped naked and hung by the neck in a piano wire in prison for preaching Christ. Bonhoeffer said, never call, though God's grace is free, never call it cheap, for it costs God everything he had. Think about it. You and I enjoy today grace because of what Jesus did. It's incredible. It's awesome. And it's necessary for all of us. None of us are getting to heaven without God's grace. I'm always reminded in my own life how much grace it takes to get me through one day. You guys, you don't know my life. I mean, you know me, and I'm pretty transparent about stuff. While people struggle with other things, I've told you 1,000 times before, I struggle with temper. My dad was German English. My mom was pure Portuguese. And my mom, when she used to get angry, my mom would run to the kitchen and grab knives and chase us through the house. I did, honest truth, I did not have a screen on my bedroom window because when she would come, my brother in his room, we did not have screens on our windows, which I just thought, I don't have screens on my windows today in my house now. Not for the same reasons, thank God, but we would actually run and go out of the window, through, and land in the backyard and tumble and run away because my mom, she'd get upset. You'd hear the kitchen drawer. She could barely speak English. She would grab the knife and she's coming after us. I said, Jack, you grew up in a nut house. Yes! Temper. I got that temper. I mean, I don't run around with a knife. How would I ever make it to heaven with this? God's grace fights it. God's grace gives me the strength to reject it. God's grace is there. Whatever it is in your life. Oh, Jack, I'd love to come back to Jesus, but I just can't. This thing's got a control of my life. Cry out to God. Ask him, Lord, grace this situation in my life. Don't ever call it cheap. It costs God everything. Where can this grace be gotten? Look at verse 27. What makes grace so real? Well, I tell you what, it's where you find it. Where can I get grace? Verse 27, and because, listen, he has received, that is your younger brother, safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. You say, I don't get that fatted calf. Because your brother came back home, your dad's so excited that he called In-N-Out Burger and they brought that truck to the front of your house and they're cooking up barbecue for the whole neighborhood. Free In-N-Out. What? My brother's a bum. He doesn't deserve that. Of course he doesn't. That's the whole point. The scribes and Pharisees were like this. They don't deserve this. I had someone tell me who just came to Christ recently, tried to explain salvation and what Jesus did on the cross to a family member. And that family member said, that news is too good to be true. The Pharisees were living a life saying, the gospel's too good to be true. And people who won't receive it either shoot at it or they make fun of it. Where can you find grace? Well, wherever you and I are at, that's for sure. God's grace is there. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Isn't that awesome? Are you bound up in something? God's grace is there. And when it hits your life, when you say, God, I need you, I can't save myself, or I can't get out of this mess. I used to walk with you, God. I used to know you, and now I'm messed up. God's grace comes into your life. And I tell you what, when you become sin aware, and when you realize sin action in your life, and you conclude, oh my goodness, I am S-I-N positive. I'm gonna die. When you realize that, you say, oh God, have mercy upon me. Did you notice that whenever someone was knowledgeable of their sin in the Gospels, when you have Jesus going through a town, and for example, the woman caught in the act of adultery, remember that? They brought her to Jesus' feet, they threw her down. And did Jesus ever, in any one of those circumstances, pull out the Ten Commandments? Did he ever pull out the pocket version of the Ten Commandments, two little pebbles with 1 through 10 written on it, and hit the person with it? No. When they knew that they had sinned, he gave them grace, didn't he? He says, go now, your faith has made you whole. Go and sin no more. It means live a life for sin no longer. Live for me. But when someone was righteous, the rich young ruler, he was pretty impressed with himself. Jesus said, he goes, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? I could probably buy it if you let me know how much. And I've certainly been good enough. Jesus said, do these things. And Jesus cited the law. The law tears down pride. Grace rescues the person who understands that they need the Lord. It's necessary. Listen, where we get it, the grace is at Christ and at his feet.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 4. We're so glad you joined us today. Christian Come Home, Part 4 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Have you heard about Just Church? Just Church is hosted by Pastor Jack Hibbs, and it's totally free. It's going to happen one night only. That's Friday, September 8th. And that's at the Honda Center in Anaheim. You are invited to this special night where we come together to seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ. At Just Church, we'll gather to worship and study God's Word together. Wherever you are in your relation to Jesus Christ, you will be welcomed and you'll feel comfortable at Just Church. This is a bold call to encourage you to decide now that it's time for you to commit your life to Jesus Christ or to come back home to the family of God. Let us know you're coming and keep updated by registering at JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. Let me give you that date one more time. It's Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Register now at JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.